Hawkins. This guy comes out. He's an acrobat. And he gets up there and he does a handstand. And he takes one hand away. Then he takes his body and turns it sideways. And I still haven't figured out how he did that. And it just amazed me. And I said, Tyler, have you ever seen anything like that? He said, oh, Dad, that's nothing. I see stuff on TV like that all the time. I said, yeah, but this is real. And he said, yeah, but what I see is better. So it made me stop and think, do our children really know the difference between reality and what's not real? Fiction? Things that's not really, you know, it's made up? So I thought, you know, heroes, who's our hero? So I went back, and I just went back to, since Brother Spence is studying Greek, I thought, well, Greek heroes, he'd know all about them. So I got the Greeks and the Romans, because they're the same, they have different names, one's Greek, one's Roman. So have y'all got any, y'all want to give me any names of Greek heroes that you remember? I'll see if they're on my list.
Hercules.
Hercules is both Greek and Roman, by the way. They're both the same name. Is there anybody else that you can think of from your Greek? Not using your phone now, Brother Spence. I'll see you back there. I'm only joking. There is Jason. Jason and Agronauts, whatever they were. Ulysses. Apollo. And I'm not going to... Zeus, Poseidon, Hades, Atlas, remember the guy that held the world on his shoulders? Venus, Cupid, those are just some, I probably have 45 or 50, but those are the ones that I knew. The rest of them I've never heard of, but apparently they're famous because of their name. So I thought that gives us kind of a background, and it seems to be, and I wrote this down, that it seems that we search for someone to pattern our lives after. We look to someone usually. From the very beginning of time, people have done that. We still do it today. Our children do it today. So I thought, that's from times past. So what about today? So I thought, well, I'm going to look at superheroes. So I looked and I found a Alex Alonso. He is the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. And most, you know, I grew up with Marvel Comics when I was a kid. And I mean, that's about all I could afford, 10 cents or a nickel when I could get a funny book. And we traded them. You know, we couldn't buy one every week, but we could trade and trade around. And, you know, those were, you know, there was different heroes that you could look at. He says, Alex Alonso said in a recent interview that when kids get interested in these superheroes, they're not rooting for the powers or the costume, they're rooting for the person inside the tights. With Spider-Man, they're rooting for the kid from Queens who, when he's not saving the world, has problem trying to scrape up enough money for his rent. For Captain America, they're rooting for the 98-pound weakling who, through the miracle of science, was granted muscles that finally materialized or matched the size of his heart. Superheroes are models for life, people who rise above their personal baggage and insecurities to face challenges and to do great things. It says most kids love to imitate superheroes, or at least watch their cartoons. And I think that's pretty true. Kids love cartoons. They love superheroes. If you go to Walmart during Halloween, there's all kinds of costumes and stuff that you can see. You go down the toy aisle, and there's just rows and rows of little figurines. I thought I'd go from the Greek and Roman up to present day. So there, we talked about them. So I looked up superheroes, and this is what I found. I found the page. These are the top 100 superheroes that kids like. You want to name a few of them? Who? Yep. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Thor, Wonder Woman, Captain America, Invisible, I'm not going to name them all, Wolverine, Iron Man, Daredevil. I need to let you in on a little secret about Daredevil. I shaved my mustache off a few years ago for a reason. Okay? So I don't want y'all to let anybody know. Okay? This is a secret between me and you. Okay? Now, another thing that happened at that same time, and I know I don't want y'all spreading this around, but not everybody has a figurine that looks like him without his mustache. I got this from Christmas from my granddaughter one year. I said, "Papa, you got an action figure looks just like you." Except I didn't have a little coat like that. Anyway, so you see, I am famous more than you thought. Okay, but I'm retired. Okay, so those are some superheroes that people saw, that see today. In fact, they're on TV. There was one down here that, Black Panther. There just a movie came out, I noticed the other day. I never have seen it, but it's an action hero that's a... So, I thought, well, what else? These are 50 action heroes from movies. And these are the top 50. And I think I've seen most of them. Bullet, that was number 50. Number one is James Bond, and there's more in between. Gladiator, Mad Max, Rambo, Die Hard. What do they all have in common? They have a hero in it. So there's 50. If you need a list, I have all 50 of the top 50. Okay. I've got these all in different... See, I write this in different pages. They're not in order, though. It's as my poor brain comes across them, I write it down. Okay, I'm looking for the ones that are more present. War heroes. We have war heroes, do we not? And I thought, you know, I can remember growing up, Sergeant York, World War I, Audie Murphy in World War II, and then since then in World War II, I mean, where do you stop? Any soldier, any sailor, anyone that served in the army, military, in the world wars, from the American Revolution down to Afghanistan, are heroes that we should look for and say that they've done above and beyond the call of duty. What about our policemen, our firemen? Are they not heroes? I've got an excerpt from George Bush that he wrote after 9/11, and he talks about what our country, you know, had to stand up with the World Trade Center and what people did above and beyond the call of duty of saving people out of that building, going in there when they know they might not come out, without hesitation, and carrying people out. It talks about the flight that was the flight 93 that was going to crash, and it says it was led by a young man whose last words were the Lord's Prayer, and then said, "Let's go." So, you know, that's a hero. He was saving others instead of himself. Okay, what about family? You have heroes in your family, your parents, your relatives. What about preachers? Or people that serve in religion, missionaries, our leaders that'll go out and preach the word in places that they don't want to hear that word, but yet they're willing to go and put their life on the line. Are they not heroes also? So, this all started, I'm the chaplain for the troop life. And every week I'm supposed to give a devotional to those young men about whatever I want to do. So what I've done is I've compiled, I found online, 39 or 40 heroes from the Bible. Okay. So each week, I've been doing David. Tomorrow will be my third one on David. You can't do it within, but I have like 2 to 5 minutes, so this will last me about 3 years. I'm practicing tonight. So, you know, I've gotten started on that, but this makes it a lot simpler because it narrows down. It gives me the Bible verses and everything. I don't have to look them up. But when I started going through this, you know, it makes you stop and think, who in the Bible would you consider a hero? And they have their list, and I made a list. I'd already made a list before I found this. But it's funny. Of course, mine is not, you know, I don't think in order. I just think, and I write down different ones. And then I read out of another book, and these are some of the heroes that they considered to be the foundation of, they call it the foundation of superheroes. And the first one they mentioned is David. And he said David was a 98-pound weakling that did great things. Joshua, it talks about he had to fight a scary army, but then it says, of course, they try to make this funny, he had to knock down a wall that was had about as many bricks in it as the Empire State Building. Elijah, he had to stand up to 450 prophets. Moses had to face Pharaoh. Daniel, he says he had to figure out some way to fight off the instincts of lions that were hungry in a den that he shared with them. We know how that turned out. So there are a lot of things in the Bible that are heroic. And you can read through them, and they're all men just like, and women just like we are. They're not other than they were called by God. But I stop and think, you know, we're called by God too. We have a calling, don't we? We were called to be a Christian, and we accepted. So we can be whatever God wants us to be. And that's really going to be my main point here in a minute after I read all these different people. I got 15 more minutes. So. I'm trying to find the list. I thought I had more. Okay. Now, they have 29 listed here. And I'm going to give you an easy question. Who's the real superhero? He's number one. So we're going to work backwards, and we're going to start with Jonah. And then we have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Nehemiah, Job, Elijah, Solomon, David, Saul or Paul, Samuel, Ruth, Samson, Gideon, Joshua, Moses, Joseph, Abraham, Noah, and Jesus is number one. Okay. Now, I stopped and I thought, now who is the superhero of all those? And you've already said it, Jesus. The rest of us are only superheroes through what God lets us do. We give ourselves, say, God, what do you want us to do for you? And that's what we get to do. He gives us the armor that we have to put on. We have to be prepared. And this is one of the lessons. Actually, it's on Jesus. And it gives you the criteria of what you have to be to do the job. I don't know if I can see from here. My glasses, these high dollar glasses I use, I have to get like this to read. It says, I'm going to back up one. These are questions. Okay. What is it that makes someone a hero?
Your ability to save someone.
Okay. This says a person who is admired for his qualities and achievements are one that has great courage. And it says we're going to use this word as we apply the hero test to the men and women that we call heroes of the Bible. So they go through here and they justify each one of these people by giving them that test of what they did. And if you look at each one of those people, they had to do something extraordinary. And you often think, like Jeremiah. What did Jeremiah have to do? Who did he have to get convinced to go and build the wall back up around Jerusalem? He had to go to the king. Now, who was Jeremiah? I mean, if you looked at who was he? Or Nehemiah. He was what? A Pharaoh. He was like a prophet. A Jewish prophet. And was a king Jewish? But he was brave enough to go into that chambers and say, King, we want to go back to our country and build our wall that you took away from us. We want to go back and settle that back. Become a nation again. Do you think that took courage? The king could have done it. He could have wiped him out and he just said, man, nope. But he had to go in there and face him. But he did it. Was it on his own ability though? It was with God. And that's the one thing that these young people need to understand. The heroes that we have of the Bible is because of God. In Jesus. And these other people that are heroes, God gave them that ability to do it. They couldn't have done it on their own without Him. They might not know that, but He gave them the life that they have to do, to live and breathe, and gave them the courage that they needed to do that. They just don't recognize who gave it to them. Now, with our men of the Bible, we know where the courage comes from. It comes through God. Because you have faith in God that He's going to take care of you in all situations. Who's one of your heroes of the Bible? Maybe I didn't mention it. Do you have one that you think of that's a hero? Man or woman?
I think of Esther because she went into the kingdom also. Mm-hmm.
A woman wasn't even supposed to go into the chamber with him. Even though she was a queen, she still didn't have the right to do that by their law. But she was willing to put her life at stake for her people, God's people, because God had asked her to do that. And our children, they spend hours on the computer and watching TV of all these heroes. And you know, I like to watch them too. I mean, they're entertaining. But I know it's not real. But how many of our children realize that it's not real? There is a real hero that they need to know. And we need to tell them who it is. They use 1 John when you talk about Jesus as being the hero, he's the first one mentioned. I'm thinking that's in the New Testament. But He was the Word, wasn't He? He is the Word. Can somebody quote 1 John? I have it written here. I can't quote it, but I'll figure out what page it's on. I need to mark, list my pages in order, don't I? But I have like page 3 here and page 5 over here, 6. But it says that He was the first hero. In the beginning, here it is, last page. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was there in the beginning, wasn't He? He's our first hero. And don't you think it's strange that people look toward looking for a hero? That sometimes they look in the wrong places, don't they? That's kind of our part to do now, isn't it? We need to lead them and say, hey, here's the real hero. Someone that's lasting, that's real. They're not an imitation. This is a real thing. And the Bible is full of things that God had people do for him. Growing up, I love the Bible stories. And songs, I was thinking about one. There's one that says that we're weak. What's the rest of that? He is strong. You ever stop and think about that? Even as a child, you realize that they're telling you, we're weak, but he is strong. And to me, that's leading to that hero that we need to find. I know I'm doing a poor job of this, but it's just to me, the way that I can do this is I can show these young men each week that there's someone in the Bible that had to do an extraordinary thing for God. And we can be that same person. We just have to let God lead us and guide us to that point. We may not do the same type of miracles or the same type of dramatic thing, but we can stand and tell somebody about who Jesus is. And in today's world, that would take a miracle almost, wouldn't it? Our lives have gotten so complicated. And I was thinking about the heroes. Here I'm drifting back. The heroes that we have on TV, but when I was a child, were simple people. They were just a man that had extraordinary powers. But now, the violence and the sex and the lifestyle that they lead, we didn't have that. Some of the Marvels, they're on TV now and their movies, they're leading into places that is dark. It's leading away from what life is really about. Their characters are completely different. They're violent. They bring sex into it. They have gays, lesbians included in it. I don't know. I'd probably get shot for saying, I'm not going to say it, but it's just, at one time people were willing to say, hey, that's wrong. I'm not going to go out and burn their house or shoot them, but I don't have to agree with them. I don't have to agree with their lifestyle. But when it's put on TV, we don't have much choice, do we? What choice do we have then? Turn it off. And if enough people would turn it off, it would change. And we think, well, no, that won't happen. It will. There's still enough Christians in this world who can make a difference, if they'll only make a difference. Dwayne, I'm going to beat you on your time. I read David Jeremiah, is that it? Okay. He's got a book that, and it's written from James. And he makes a statement I think it's the second chapter, that I thought was pretty important. It says that the overwhelming majority of Americans, more than 85%, still identify themselves as Christian. 85% of this country. That means those 15%, they're leading us the wrong way, are they? Okay. But if the statistical indicators of faith are up, the social influence is down, and the reasons are becoming plain. There's been a carelessness about Christian orthodoxy, a corruption of Christian obedience, a vacuum of Christian leadership, and a disarray among public initiatives in which Christians have recently placed their confidence. Much of public face of American Christianity is a stunning testament to the power of religion without God. And you know, the part about the public initiatives, think how many laws have been changed in the last 20 years. Things that used to be wrong, that were frowned upon, that are okay today. In fact, if you say anything about it, you might go to jail if you don't agree. Now, something's wrong with our country. And if we're 85% Christians, and that's happening, there's something definitely wrong, isn't there? And where can we point the blame? The 15%? Who's in charge? They're supposed to be in charge. So when we look at heroes, we need to make sure our children see the right people to be a hero. And the only ones I can find now, through the test of time, from the time I read the comic books till now, I don't even recognize that same person. But those Bible heroes that I learned about when I was in the 4 or 5 years old still are heroes today. And will be tomorrow. And next year. And from here on out. So who should we point our children toward? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Understand that. But maybe you'll get motivated and go out and tell somebody else. And I'll let you have a copy of this book too. So that's really what I wanted to say. It's just sad to think that we think we're Christians, but it's like we don't care. And I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about those other 84%, I guess. Our churches have gotten to the point that they're liberal. Part of the Southern Baptist broke away because they couldn't get along with the Southern Baptist doctrine because we're too strict, too mean. I actually had a man tell me he couldn't be a Baptist because we were too mean. And I said, what do you mean too mean? He said, well, you have to follow these rules. Well, yeah, you know, God's rules, you know. But, you know, you have to stand on those principles. And it might mean that we have to be our hero and go against everybody else. And that's not easy. You only asked me what a hero is, Tony. What did you tell me? A hero. They had in common.
Did you ask me a question?
Yeah. You been doing sign language? I said, what quality did you tell me that all heroes have in common?
I remember answering that question, and it was brilliant, but I don't remember now.
You said they didn't give up. She said they don't give up. That's, not that you can't remember, but it was brilliant. She just forgot. But a hero doesn't give up. And that's what we should be. We need to be a hero for Christ.
You know, how many times did Moses have to go back to Pharaoh? And I think I was the first time, if I made it there, I would have said, I told you he wouldn't do it, you know, and then he did. But he didn't. He went back time after time. And even when Pharaoh said, next time you're here, I'm going to kill you.
But Moses had his faith in his God. And we have that same God. And we need to have that same faith that wherever we go, we can stand and say, Jesus is our hero. He's really the only hero. Really comes down to it. And I'll go back. I remember now something else I thought. Whose image are we made in? So what should we do? We should reflect who? God. We can't deny it. He made us that way. It doesn't say that we're gods, but he uses us and goes through us with his power. But we have to let him. We just have to be there and serve him. Okay, anything? Dwayne, I'm trying to stretch you. I'm not going to make your extra 19 minutes. I'm sorry. Any comments? I know this is...
Well, you know, it's Christians child of God, which is very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, anybody can take the name Christian, can't they?
Right.
And that's one of those things, 85%, I just...
That's 85%, 20.
I know, but still, 85%. I didn't even know. It must not come to Hilton, so I can say. But...
You know, the superheroes, the My Child and stuff that used to watch, the old Superman and all Ranger and all these, most back then, they told the moral story. Mm-hmm. And it was based on things that law and justice and all of these things were prevailed. And all of the laws and things were all based upon the Ten Commandments and those things of God. Today, the superheroes have no law.
Well, today, if they're not immoral, they're not worth watching, apparently. They don't put them on. So it's terrible that we've taken our children and exposed them to that kind of filth, I guess is the only way you can call it.
You know, there's a time that I think all what they do is classy, all fashion and stuff,
mm-hmm.
medical commercials. I would get it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad that they try to make people with good morals, that they watch those shows to watch better stuff. That is so liberal.
Right. It's not any show. Well, I don't know if you can even watch TV without. You can't even watch the. I did watch the basketball game. I don't think there was nothing loaded. Which. It's just sad.
When I used to teach English literature, we would study Beowulf. In the introduction to it, in the textbook, the way they described Beowulf was, he said, for justice, liberty, but it sounded exactly like Superman's description. And so it was the idea that a hero takes care of the people. You know, he's there to help others. And we lost that because today's superhero, you know, they kind of have that idea that it's not self-sacrificing like it was, you know, the ancient hero.
Okay.
And Jesus showed that sacrifice.
He saved us all and gave his life. What else could you do? Okay, anything else? Almost made it. Brother Spence, you got anything you would like to point out? You want to do some Greek for us?
No.
Okay. It'd be Greek to us anyway. Okay. Brother Jay, would you pray for us? We'll be dismissed, please.